Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Ron Paul Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Well, I was just complaining a few minutes ago.
Right.
I was going to advise the listeners, don't listen today. I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Some of the news I'm reading about and the attack on kids, and the coronavirus and all these things and foreign policy. But I guess things been that way off and on for a long time. And I keep looking for periods of time in history where things were much worse. And you can find things much worse, except, you know, in a philosophic sense, that's what I worry about. I mean, yes, not as many people are dying at the hand of our government at this moment.
Directly.
But boy, they are destroying the foundations of what a free society is all about. And I think that's the bigger picture, and that's what we deal with. Now, I want to start off with talking about, you know, this grand announcement. And at first I thought, well, this sounds pretty good, but I think it raises a few questions. And that is that... Here's one headline. Not a single case of flu detected by public health in England this year as COVID restrictions suppress virus. It's working,
it's
but
working.
For the wrong virus. So what's happening?
Stupid
but
virus.
But this whole thing, you know, sometimes people in government and the politicians and the bureaucrats exaggerate a bit. Sometimes there's a little bit of spin. I have no idea what this means. This isn't even, usually when you spin, you throw out, well, greatly reduced or something like this. But they didn't find a single case.
Yeah.
And they give us the answer. You don't have to wonder why this. They don't claim all of a sudden everybody had a shot, so therefore there wasn't any flu. But they say inadvertently the treatment for COVID did the trick. This social distancing and washing their hands, all these wonderful health matters has literally eliminated the flu. Now, I think when the dust settles, we may find out that it wasn't exactly so. But it sort of gives them, the way I sense this, it gives free rein now. Well, we've conquered the flu. Everything's okay. Now we have to concentrate, you know, on the COVID virus. And I'll talk in a little bit about, yes, especially on the babies and the kids. And they're going to stay busy. And they're going to ignore the fact that herd immunity is just around the corner and that things are going pretty well and Florida is surviving. So, but this is the big thing that we want to make a few comments on. Have they really wiped out the flu? And should there be credit given to the fact that the rules for COVID virus is responsible for all this good news?
Well, it's perfect for them, and sometimes you have to wonder, are they gaslighting us? But this basically means mask forever. You know, their biggest fear, their biggest terror was having this virus be over, and then people go back to normal. They say, no, there's a new normal, we'll never go back to normal. But the real problem here, and again, we don't know, the real problem here is that if the seasonal flu is being misdiagnosed as COVID, and we know that's possible from Fauci himself, who says if you run the PCR test at too many cycles, you're going to get a false positive. We know for a fact that the PCR test has been run at a very, very high number of cycles. So there is a possibility that all of these COVID cases, or a lot of these COVID cases, actually were flu cases. That would make more sense than the idea that by washing your hands, we've eliminated the flu. Because what, we never washed our hands before? I mean, amazing. Just imagine last year how it was when we were frolicking in our own filth. We never, and breathing and sneezing on each other, you know. And but let's look at a couple of headlines, and this will tell you. It's just hard to believe that they, as you say, Dr. Paul, usually when they're trying to spin, there's some truth in it. Here, it's impossible to swallow. Here's the Daily Mail. Lockdown has wiped out the flu. No cases of influenza in England. Let's do the next one. Same with the Independent in the UK. Not a single case of flu as COVID restrictions suppress virus. But here's something a little bit interesting, Dr. Paul, and I hate to rain on the parade, but let's look at the next one. This is the UK. They required masks in July, and look what happened to COVID. It skyrocketed even with the masks. Flu is a virus. How is it that the flu was suppressed by masks and COVID wasn't? So what is the claim? Flu was killed by mask and social distancing. They tell us, follow the science, follow the science. Well, where is the evidence? Has there been a single study to show that's the case? Has there been any evidence presented other than the so-called experts who've come on TV and said this is the case? No, there hasn't. So how can we trust the science? Oh, just believe us on this. Sorry, it's a little bit difficult to swallow, I think.
That's right. I want to talk a little bit about you know, what's going on with the virus, because Zero Hedge had something up, and they warned us that this is, or they tipped us off, this is not onion, because what they were going to present. And it is really, really bad. This is the kind of thing that just, you know, depresses me when I can't do much about it. But this was put out originally by Paul Joseph Watson in Summit News. But the picture tells it is worth a thousand words and a lot of emotional outcry. And I call it evidence of schizophrenia, the way they go back and forth and back and forth, and germophobia.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just hysterical. So I think, do you have a picture of this? This is the isolation that they think is necessary now, in spite of all the good news, and that we're at the at herd immunity.
Yeah.
But now look at what we have to do now to keep herd immunity.
Yeah, can we skip ahead a couple and get to the one of the band with the green tents? We'll just go ahead of a couple of those. And here they are, Dr. Paul.
Oh, there.
This is band practice in a high school in Washington State. Let's look at the next one. Look, I'd hate to be a tuba player. Look at this poor guy. He can't even breathe. It speaks for itself. And actually, if you look at the next one, Dr. Paul, and I'll kick it back to you, but someone else had a great quote on Twitter. Let's look at the next one after this. This is taxpayer-funded child abuse. You cannot argue with that, right, Dr. Paul?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. But this doesn't get people excited in the negative sense of, what are we going to do about this? This is insanity. And because they're back and forth on so many of these things, I think we react in a schizophrenic way, because one day they say one thing, the next the other. And, you know, nobody can predict what Fauci's going to say, or what he believes, or what his goals are, or where he's coming from, or who has provided a handsome income for him over the years. But here it says, this was yesterday. He was on the news. He gets on all the big news every single day. They bow to him.
Yeah.
He's the king. Fauci says he sees U.S. CDC relaxing some COVID-19 guidelines soon. At the same time, they're, you know, getting people hysterical about it and saying they don't believe this stuff, and we're going to have masks until the next century. Can't be the next century, next year maybe, but who knows? They may have plans for long term. But anyway, that's the announcement for him. And so I think that's what invites my thoughts about schizophrenia. On one and off to another, which personality is he going to be today? He's an authoritarian. He's pretty consistent there. He never said, let the market work, let the people decide, let the states take care of this. He doesn't even attempt to protect liberties, nor give an honest debate on science. I mean, he is an authoritarian that has been able, especially in these last couple years, to be the absolute authority on viruses, vaccines, and personal behavior, churches closing down. He's been behind it. I would say that if he had never existed involvement in this last 2 years, our country would be a lot happier place in which to live, and the virus probably would have disappeared by now if they ever really strongly identified it. The statistics would never have been as bad as they made it, especially when the tests were unreliable and all the things that we have talked about.
What's amazing is that he has such a stature, because if you simply go back a couple of decades to how he handled the AIDS crisis, there was huge controversy over all of his mistakes. I wonder if you don't mind, Dr. Paul, if I just return to the flu really quickly, because I had a couple of other charts. The UK is not alone in talking about the flu. If we can go to that Dr. Drew, thank you, you read my mind. Now here's Dr. Drew, a celebrity doctor. Amazingly, only 165 patients have been hospitalized with the flu in the US since October. Last season, we had 400,000 hospitalizations. The staggering difference may be due to better hygiene practices and changes in the bacterial gradient field. Either way, continue washing your hands. I mean, this is just absurd, Dr. Paul. Does he really want us to believe? Does he really want Americans to believe that a year ago we were wallowing in filth? You know, let's look at the next one. Just a couple on this one. And this guy has a great comment. So we went from 400,000 flu hospitalizations to 165 by washing our hands? Incredible. And that is true. And let's look at the next one, because you talked about scare and fear mongering. Well, this is kind of worn off. If you remember, this was around January 17th through 19th, when all of the great experts, Scott Gottlieb, Michael Osterholm, Eric Topol, the fourth surge is coming. A new variant will take over in 3 to 4 weeks and change the game. Well, look at the hospitalizations. It's been more than 3 weeks since they've made this prediction, and the new variant has done nothing, has made no changes. So yes, they want to scare us. They want to terrify us. And if after the kids in the bubbles, just because I dug this up quickly because we were about ready to go live, but I just wanted to give some visualization, Dr. Paul, when they put these kids in these bubbles and say it's so dangerous for them, it's a chart, COVID versus non-COVID U.S. deaths. And the red ones are COVID. It's not a perfect chart, but it just simply will show you there is no red when you look at the people that are under 24. Virtually no red. That means virtually there are some COVID deaths, of course, and some children are very ill. And we don't take that lightly in the slightest. However, when you look at risk of death or serious illness, people of the age of these kids that are thrown in these horrible saran wrap tents, they are the least likely to get it and get sick, and least likely to pass it on, because we do know, the science does tell us that asymptomatic transmission is not a thing, and even Fauci said that.
There's an article out by the Mises Institute, and they concluded there's no strong evidence that the government actions have done any good, which we've been talking about. And it isn't that the disease hasn't been there and they recognize it and was up and down, but when they made the comparisons, which we have made as well, and that is if you have a state similar in many ways, and one does all the lockdowns, and the other one says, we don't do it, they find out, of course, you've pointed out so many times, that the government really hasn't changed anything, even with all the regulations, and sometimes they make things worse. Of course, on the other items, the economy is worse, and the finances are worse, and the children suffering, that's always worse. But when you go strictly by the numbers, all that activity of lockdown really didn't change the numbers. Those numbers are still there, and they're frightened that they might go away completely, and you've already mentioned that. Then they have less incentive to arouse the people. Well, if it's there, we got to do it. And unfortunately, we still run into people that we know that we can't reassure them. You know, you need to relax a little bit. This is not quite like what they tell you that it is, that you don't have to be so frightened by this, and you should have a little bit more confidence that there is something about natural immunities.
Well, the argument is, you talk about this comparison between California and Florida. California, lockdown state, hard lockdown. Florida, relatively open, no mandates. And they'd say, oh yeah, well, Florida didn't do any better than California. Well, that's not the point. The point is that Florida didn't do massively worse than California, which it should have done if California's restrictive measures were successful. And in fact, California and Florida are very comparable for a number of reasons, including climate, population, large cities, and Florida did no worse than California.
How about economics?
Economics makes it all. Well,
that makes the big difference. That's where Florida did much better. I wanted to just go over a couple of headlines, because, you know, today I want to talk about NATO. That's also in the news.
Yeah.
But I want to finish up on the virus news. So this was on Google's headlines.
Uh-huh.
Very trustworthy. No bias there at all. And it tells you a little bit about where they're coming from, which our audience probably doesn't need too much of this. The one headline is COVID vaccines for kids are coming.
Oh, geez.
And that was on TV and everything. Kids, 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 kids. And I got to thinking, well, the kids don't even get it. You know, they get enough of those shots, and it's not without some danger, even the common ones. I mean, most of the kids survive them.
Yeah.
but anyway, they want to emphasize the kids are doing it, and this is all over the place right now. They're talking about it. And then even Fauci had to talk about the kids. Vaccines for kids as young as first graders will be required, you know. Okay, then there's another headline. this is just so bad. This is where I get upset about the nuisance. They list the things that we should do, you know, A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, and they're promoting two articles. The first one is 9 things to make shots less stressful for you and your baby. Stuff like, how do you hold your baby when the doctor comes with a needle or gets stabbed in it? You know, this sort of thing. It has nothing to do with common sense, but they had the directions, because if the people are going to listen to them and do everything they're told, we might as well take advantage of this. We are going to make them submit to the rest of their life to directions from the government. And of course, that's been accumulated for 100 years, more directions from the government. And it was meant in our early history that we would certainly not have federal submission to tell us how to live from day to day. But then there's another one here, which is disgusting too, because this is for the older kids, and they haven't gotten any intelligence. They're teenagers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, a teenager who wants to go to the beach and defies the rules probably is making more common sense than the people who stay in their house and don't go outdoors and wear the mask every place they go. But this is 5 tips for surviving shots for teenagers. And this is disgusting. Okay, this is their advice to the person. If you have a teenager, you do, but I don't think he needs this advice. Distract yourself while you're waiting. Oh, that's a good idea. Concentrate on taking slow, deep breaths. That's very important. Hyperventilate. Yeah. You already have a trouble with your CO2, you know, and hyperventilate. Slow, deep breaths. Focus intently on something in the room. Oh, Lord.
Not the shot.
Maybe there'll be a picture in the room. Maybe there'll be a window. Okay. Then cough. Every once in a while, just cough.
Well, hang on. That's going to pass COVID around.
But not too often and not too much. Cough softly, and that relaxes your muscles. And then also, number 5 is relax your arm. Let them jab you, and don't even wince. You know,
I wish.
Well, you know, it's just that some of this stuff, if you have to have a shot, some people do this like a reflex. But when does a reflex have to be a mandate from the government or a suggestion from the government to tell us what to do? So that, to me, is the disgusting part of what's going on here. And hopefully the reality will be that we lost our way. We never could catch another virus. And the one virus disappeared, and we didn't even know, oh, yeah, we cured that one, and we're going to cure COVID next month. So, of course, next month it's scheduled to have herd immunity. So they're going to be up in arms. But I think this also motivation for preparing people for what's going on, because they're not going to let up. They'll find some excuse.
Yeah, you know, when you were saying that this great news that vaccines are going to be required for first graders now, I thought of one thing, RonPaulCurriculum.com. You know, and this is what all parents should go to, because you don't, you may not want to have your kids stuck with this thing. But should we move on to NATO? Because I'll just tee it up.
NATO is a big deal. It's a different subject, but a subject we've been wanting to get back to on dealing with foreign policy.
It's something disturbing, because you've said all along, and I think is really something that captures it, is the idea of the state, of the government using private enterprise, private companies, coercing private companies into suppressing things like the First Amendment. And we're seeing this, a little bit of this today. Let's look at this first one. This is from Twitter Safety. This is the Twitter, this is the Twitter government. This is their new report. It came out yesterday, disclosing networks of state-linked information operations. And go to the next one. This is what got everyone excited and concerned, and I think it's very concerned. They removed several hundred Twitter accounts from Twitter because they said they were tied to foreign state actors. They didn't really give us an explanation. But one of the things that they did that caused them to delete these accounts, because these Twitter accounts were, quote, undermining faith in the NATO alliance and its stability. And that is something very concerning. Let's look at the next clip really quick. This is someone tweeting about it, and they really captured it. If undermining faith in NATO, she says NATO is a military alliance. They don't want anyone to undermine faith in war. Pretty concerning stuff.
It certainly is. And the other thing is that what they do is if you want to undermine it, that means you're pro-Soviet, pro-Russia, yeah. You're pro-war. You know, you're helping Russia. So they challenge your patriotism. Which is common, but I see this as part of what's been going on in foreign policy. Sort of the ducks are lining up. You know, new alliances are occurring. Economics play a role in this because, and we also have to beat the war drums because China's doing a little bit better than they used to 25 years ago, and they're getting richer, and they keep selling us stuff, and they keep saving their dollars, and they keep investing, and they keep competing with it, and we can't put up with it. So that's an alliance that has been changed, and there was a time. I mean, I remember very clearly when Nixon, went to China, yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about it, but I thought this sounded pretty good, you know, like because I was at the age where I worried that if that Korean War didn't stop, I was in high school, yeah. when Eisenhower was running,
yeah.
and you know, he says he'll end the war, I'm going to Korea, you know, this sort of thing, and at least the fighting stopped, so that was on the horizon. But now we have this emphasis on NATO. You can't even criticize it. But you know what, though? In this day and age, you have to stop and think about what are the ramifications of this. I don't like NATO. I didn't think we should be in NATO. I think there are times when you take a position which is modified a little bit, but being in NATO is not necessary. And Robert Taft, yeah. Which was somebody back in those days when I was first getting interested, I liked him, and he has some good features. He was not a total non-interventionist, but at least he, after World War II, when this was going to be the saving thing, it was just anti-Soviet at the time. And I mean, if you weren't into that, you were supposed to be in big political problem. But he became, after the war, in that period of time, Mr. Republican.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate he died at a young age. He was the one that was identified with. Our government, our country has a rather significant monument real near the Capitol.
Uh-oh.
but it must be under a tree that nobody looks at because a lot of people don't even know it's there. But I was thinking, oh, he didn't even want us to be in. And his point of not being in there, he says it's going to overcommit us. And he still remembers the old days of non-intervention of the 30s, trying to stay out of World War II.
Yeah.
And so he was arguing in that case that we shouldn't get in. It will obligate us. And you know, over the years, I wouldn't say that. Yes, there were a lot of smaller events that we got involved in certain countries, helped overthrow certain governments, and we're still adding. And you know, the Middle East pretty well, adding a country here and a yep. here. And even though they're small countries, sometimes we add them in. Oh, I want to be in NATO. It's still just building these two factions and keep everybody happy, building more weapons. And I find it very frustrating. To when you really want to challenge our foreign policy, the people who want a different attitude toward Russia and they like to be antagonistic and they jump at this and they can use it. And I can understand how they can get away with it, but the whole thing is we don't need. To make Russia and China our arch enemy. We don't need to keep building bigger and more deadly weapons. We don't need to provoke. We don't need to go into Ukraine and pick our dictator. That's pretty close to Russia, I think. I think it's closer to Russia than it is to Washington or New York.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing. It just goes on and on. But it'll be interesting to see when the day comes when they tear down the Robert Taft statue. They probably haven't caught up with that. Maybe, but they didn't know about this one yet. But they'll probably want to do that. They're going to cancel Taft because of their love of NATO.
Yeah, don't give them any ideas. Well, I'm going to close down on my end. I'm going to surprise you with one because you mentioned Fauci. The Fauci of the day. Let's look at my final clip because I think you're going to get a kick out of this one. Here's Fauci cautions against dining out even when vaccinated. So he says, even if you have the vaccine, don't go to a restaurant. And I got to thinking about this, Dr. Paul. You know, Facebook and the other social media, they've announced that they will take down your account. They will kick you out if you undermine the confidence in the vaccine. Well, Fauci right now is absolutely undermining the confidence in the vaccine, because any part of America with a brain would say, hang on a minute, I got to get this shot, but I still can't go out to dinner. I still can't have a normal life. The shot is so junky that it's not going to help me to not get it and to not pass it on. Then why am I going to get it anyway? So it's actually Fauci himself that's doing a lot more to undermine confidence in the vaccination. But I'll just close with one final thing. You know, the Ron Paul Institute, which is puts on the Liberty Report, is not backed by foreign actors, right? It's funded by small donors, wonderful patriotic people who care about the future of this country. And its purpose actually is to undermine confidence in NATO. That's why it was founded. But not only NATO, but militarism and empire and all of these things that are impoverishing us morally and financially and taking the future away from our children and grandchildren. I've included a link in the description if you'd like to help us keep the show going. We don't ask very often for contributions, but we do like you to know that we do incur costs putting the show together, and we certainly do appreciate tax-deductible donation to the Ron Paul Institute to help keep us going. And we'll do our best on our end, and thank you for the support on your end.
Right. Very good. You know, the big issue of passports, it's been around. We're talking more about it. More people are getting concerned. But it's growing, and it's going to continue to grow, because we know people like Fauci and Bill Gates are really enthusiastic about it. And the passport is really a horrendous attack on personal liberties, because you can't move. And they already talked about curtailing movement from people in Florida because, the Democrats don't like Florida, you know, so we're going to restrict travel. Passports, they're going to want passports to go any place and every place, you know. And then you got to thinking, well, what are you going to carry a piece of paper? That's not going to make them happy. I mean, the kids aren't going to have it. So there's going to be an injection, and it's going to go along with a vaccine. But I got to thinking, well, if there is a question, you have to prove it. We'll just go get a test. But if you search to try to find out that if you've been diagnosed with coronavirus and you get been sick and you get better, you should have antibodies to that. But they say that's totally unreliable. That is because of the testing is unreliable. But the vaccine, there's nobody that says if you have the vaccine, you just can't say, well, I don't want to do that, but, you know, I've learned to live with TSA and I can handle this. But the passport, they'll say, well, if you get the injection and have the vaccine, then you can verify that. But it's not true. And there's nobody in the stuff that I looked at on the internet. Everybody said they really don't know. And I don't, and I'll tell you what, that invites this, the whole thing. What do they really know about this vaccine? What do they know about 6 months from now or a year from now? All I know is if you look carefully, you will see more and more announcements of people having complications from the vaccine, but you're not allowed to talk about it. It has to be kept secret. And this whole thing about passports is really a problem. If our people in this country remain passive and capitulate and just accept it and they submit to it, unfortunately, we've already seen most Americans, at least 80% of Americans, have easily submitted. It's almost like a badge of patriotism and wearing these masks. And just the whole idea of kids, grade school kids, leaving school and immediately putting their masks on. Well, they probably had their mask on to begin with, even on the inside. So it's really bad. They start with the mask, and there'll be facial images, but ultimately it will be an injection. And I hope enough people wake up and say enough is enough. But I did see a stat today that said, I don't know what the percentage was, but I said, well, that's good. I don't know whether like 40 or 50 people don't want to have any part of even the vaccine because they were worried about the passport. But there's ways of putting on pressure. The people have to stand up to it because fighting them is sometimes more tedious than go along and I'll suffer along with it. Maybe later on somebody else will change it. Now, there'll be a time when all of us will have to make a decision and stand up and just not and resist it because they're the ones who are in the wrong. I think we have to do it, you know, obviously without any violence. But we have to have ammunition, and I'm not talking about ammunition that people think about, because the ammunition is intellectual, being able to answer the question, and that can win the fight. It always does, ultimately. Many times it's just the bad guys that use ammunition. They use intellectual, so justify this type of activity. Do you think they don't have intellectuals behind the type of economic system that we have today? 98% of the people I knew in Washington endorsed government central economic planning of some sorts. And there's no real consensus in Washington. A little bit of lip service that says, you know, maybe we ought to be a little careful. This debt is getting pretty big. A lot of spending. We're printing a lot of money. No, nobody's going to touch it because the interest rates have already started up because they could not contain it much longer. So that is leading to trouble. That's a warning sign. So we're going to be dealing with that type of problem as well as the acceleration of the people who want to control everything that we do with passports and immunization. So I'll tell you one thing. There is an answer for this. It's not complex. It's just believing in the principles of personal liberty, liberty that's been granted to us by our Creator and not by our government. And we just need more guts for people to stand up and say, I am a free person. I own my life and I own myself. And I ought to be able to do what I want if I do not harm anybody else or anybody else's property. It should be something that should be acceptable. Why people get away with saying, yes, except under these conditions, we need to do this and this, and we need government guns. I'm so sick and tired of government guns. And they're the people who preach no guns. They preach no guns for us, guns for their stooges in Washington to collect and redistribute the wealth. That's where the real problem is the guns controlled by the people who believe in authoritarianism and collectivism. But the answers are out there. Many people talking about it. I believe our numbers are growing, even though you won't find that on Google. They won't tell you that yet. They're struggling, and sometimes I think they're on the defensive. So that's why we welcome your support and are so delighted that we get the support. And all I would ask is just spread the message of liberty, and we will all benefit. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.